Your responsibility is to listen to the Lord and listen to the people. And a lot of times, the secret to what to preach will be in what you hear people talking about. Tonight, I'm going to preach a message that came from about six people talking to me about a situation. They don't know the other one talked to me, so they'll all think that I'm aiming the message at them. But nonetheless, and other situations that I'm aware of in the congregation that would maybe fall in this category, and the Lord gave me a message tonight on overcoming the spirit of fear. I want you to be here for it, because I believe God has some answers for us for situations in our lives that can help us. Overcoming the spirit of fear. Also, don't forget, if you ordered Dr. Ouellette's books, that you picked them up at the bookstore on Wednesday night, and this is the last day that we'll make mention of Clint Robinson's need for $1,600 to fix his car. We have raised $895 of that. Luke chapter 15 is called the lost chapter of the New Testament. No, it wasn't ever lost. It's not called that because of it. But in it, Christ tells three parables, one about the lost sheep, one about the lost coin, and one about the lost son. And so therefore, it gets its name. Jesus often told stories with spiritual meanings, and we call those parables. Parables. And as we examine parables, we often see ourselves in one of the characters that he's describing. This is the parable not of one son, but of two sons. So often we concentrate, and I've done it myself, concentrate on the one son who went off into the far country. And today I'm going to talk about him again. But in verse 11, the Bible says that a certain man had two sons. This is a parable about two sons. Verses 12 through 24 tell us about the younger son. And verse 25 through 32 tell us about the older son. We often think of only the younger son as the prodigal. But as we look at it more closely today, I want you to see that both of these sons were prodigals. You need to see that before we're done today. As we put the magnifying glass on these two, ask yourself, is the Lord trying to get my attention about something in my life? Have I drifted away? Could it be that in my heart, I still go through all the motions, but I have drifted away in my heart from the Lord? If you have, the journey back is not as easy as the journey away, but it's the right choice to make. And I entreat you, I beg of you to make that choice today. Now, look with me first at the younger son. Two sons, so our sermon message today has 2 points. The younger son, the prodigal of personal rights. One meaning of the word prodigal is extravagant or wasteful. When we use this term, we usually mean someone who has turned his back on the right way. He knew better, but he got off track. He made wrong choices. He squandered his gifts and his opportunities. He chose his own way, and unless he changes, he's going to pay dire consequences for it. Look at the prodigal's flagrant request by way of beginning. The father was a Jewish landowner in Palestine, and he had two sons. One day, the younger son came into him and demanded his father, "Father, give me mine inheritance that I have coming someday. I'd like to have it all today." This was a flagrant and an outlandish request. He had no right to demand his inheritance. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 17 teaches us that a double portion was to be given to the older son in the Jewish families, and a third of the inheritance to the younger brother in this situation, but only upon the father's death. And so for him to demand his share of the estate before his father's death was like saying, I wish you were dead. It was disgraceful. It was a flagrant request. Why did the young man want his inheritance now? His plan became obvious very soon in verse 13, if you'll look there with me. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey. Notice it didn't take him very long, not many days. And took his journey into a far country. He was tired of not being able to run his own life. He was tired of following all of his dad's orders. He'd always done that. He wanted his independence. He wanted to be free from the restrictions of the rules. Remember Brother Allison's message on the rules. He wanted his personal rights. No more my parents' rules. I don't want to listen to the old man anymore. I do that because I remember saying that one time in our car. And my mother came across, wham, backhand. You don't call your dad that. After all he's done for you, you don't call your dad the old man. So I immediately bring my hand to my lips. I remember how that hurt. I never did it again. And you shouldn't do it either. So he makes a flagrant request. I want my inheritance. Almost immediately, the prodigal faces financial ruin. First, there's a flagrant request. Then there's a financial ruin in verse 13, last half of the verse. And there wasted his substance on riotous living, verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. The father graciously honored the young man's request and gave him the one-third of his inheritance. The young man left home to strike out on his own, traveled to Florida, or to California, or to Mexico, or Canada, or somewhere. It says that he went into a far country. And it didn't take him long to blow the entire inheritance. I mean, he spent it all. It shows his playboy mentality and his immaturity and his lack of work ethic. There's no indication of him getting a part-time job to try to stretch it out. It was all fun and games. After all, he didn't have to do anything to get it. He didn't have to pay a price to get it, so it didn't mean anything to him. That's a problem. And so, notice that he foolishly gathered all that he had, leaving nothing to fall back on. He didn't set anything back for a rainy day. No savings, no plan for the future. Just spent up everything as fast as he could. He invested nothing. He put nothing in the bank. He evidently bought nothing of value that he could trade in. He just spent it all, and soon he came to financial ruin. And you'll come to financial ruin soon every time if you don't make some plans. A flagrant request. A financial ruin. Thirdly, notice the prodigal's futile recovery. Futile recovery. Now, what will he do now that the famine's in the land and poverty is hitting and he's out of money? Did he realize his error and return to his father? Oh, not a chance. Not yet. He hasn't hit his dead end to his road yet. He's his own boss, and he doesn't want to mess that up. So what does he do? He got a job with a pig farmer in verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Imagine the humility, I should say the humiliation, for this young Jewish boy to be feeding the unclean swine. The Jews regarded the swine as unclean. However, things didn't go just like he thought that they would. And although he had a job, he still had no money to buy something to eat. All of the work, and he still doesn't have enough to eat. All those years of eating at dad's table without ever a thought of how hard it was to make a buck and support yourself. Never a thought of appreciation for dad. Now all that he can command is a minimum wage job and can't even feed himself. Verse 16.
He even tries eating the pig's husks. And then he realizes that his plans for financial recovery are futile. In verse 16, and he would fain have filled its belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. That's a secret. Sometimes we prop people up. Sometimes we facilitate them in their error, and that keeps them from coming to their senses and coming back to God. But nobody did that. Nobody helped him out in the strange land, the foreign land. He learned that the world is a dog-eat-dog existence as he received no assistance from anyone. So his plan for personal rights gives way to his cries for his stomach. With his maturity and common sense starting to build, the prodigal makes a firm resolve. A firm resolve. Luke chapter 15 and verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He reasoned that a hired servant to his dad was better and would be treated better than a hired servant to the man that he's working for. This is the wake-up call. The young man had been on an ego trip. He didn't like living under his father's authority. He didn't like someone else making the rules. He didn't like somebody else being the boss. He wanted to run his own life. He had rights, and he wanted to exercise his rights. And of course, he did have rights. But with rights also come responsibility. Too many prodigal adults want their rights without any responsibility. In our day, it's true spiritually. People want faith, and they want a church that does everything for them and asks nothing in return. No commitment. They don't want to come to a Mount Zion Baptist Church where, you know, there's things to do. There's responsibilities to get involved in. They want a church that's just kind of loosey-goosey. You just go, and it's lovey-dovey, and everything is good and positive, and there's four or five people that do everything, and I just come and sit and leave. That's the kind of church. I have rights, but rights come with responsibilities. Right. He was immature and irresponsible and sinful, but he was salvageable. I want you to get this point. He may have been immature and irresponsible, and he may have been sinful, and we know that he was. But God still loved him. In this story, the Father still loved the Son. And you're salvageable. If you'll come to the same firm resolve that the prodigal had that day, I will arise and go to my Father and say to him, Father, I have sinned. You'll do that, you're salvageable. He makes one turn that shows maturity and wisdom, and that one turn changes his life forever. All of a sudden, he'll have food to eat. He'll have clothes on his back. He'll have security in his life. Amen. You could make one turn today, spiritually, toward the Heavenly Father, and it would change your life forever. So he makes a resolve, follows through, returns home to the Father. Think of this, without money, it must have been a long, tiring trip. And he must have arrived very hungry from the long trip if all he had to eat were the husks from the pigsty. No doubt he must have thought all the way home, I wonder how my Father will receive me. I wonder what he'll say when I get there. We see the flagrant request, the financial ruin, the futile recovery, and then the firm resolve, and he's on his way home, and now we see the Father's response. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 20, and he rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The Father was looking for him. Do you get that? The Father was looking. He didn't say that good for nothing, bum of a son. Took his inheritance I worked hard for. Spent it all on whatever. I don't care if I ever see him again. No. This was his son. He missed his son. He carried a burden for his flesh and blood. He loved his son. He watched for his son. Evidently he had binoculars or scouts posted somewhere because he caught sight of his son a great way off coming over the hill. He saw him. And dear friend, God has his eyes fixed on you. He's watching for you to return to him. Wonderful truth. He's not mad at you. You may have behaved foolishly, riotously, sinfully, but God is watching for you to return to him today. The phrase had compassion. It says in verse 20, the Father had compassion, shows love of the Father as he contemplated the Son's return. And God the Father doesn't hate you. If you've backslidden, you've gone into some sin, he doesn't hate you. He's not pleased, but he still loves you and he's waiting and he has compassion on you. He wants to receive you. He wants you to come to him today. Not only is the Father looking for him and having compassion on him, but the Father takes the initiative now. He ran to meet him. The Father fell on his neck, showing the Father's tenderness. The Father kissed the Son, showing his love and his gratitude for his return home. And the truth is, if you would come back to God today from your life of sin and wanderings, you would be received the same, with the same warm fatherly response from the Heavenly Father. That's the way God would respond to you. Finally, we must see on this first son, we see the festive restoration. The festive restoration. This son had planned a full confession of his sin and worthlessness. In verse 18 and 19, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But his father wouldn't let him get it all out. And look at it in verse 21. And the son said to the father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And before he could say the rest of what he planned to say, it says, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. The best robe may have been a symbol of restored sonship. The ring may have been a signet ring, which would symbolize restoration of authority. The one with the signet ring would sign and stamp the authority into the document. The shoes meant that he was not a slave, but a free man. Notice that he left home and his father's rules to be free and found nothing in his journeys but bondage. But when he came back to his father, that's when he found the real freedom he'd been looking for. The fatted calf was kept for special occasions, like the planned visit of a distinguished guest. This was not just a reception. This was a restoration. This whole passage is a family story dealing with a father and a son. Each person who one day received Christ as their Savior has become a child of God. However it may be that you, like the prodigal, though you received Christ long ago, it could be that you've wandered away from God, maybe for 6 months, maybe for 6 years, maybe for 20, 30, 40 years, who knows. You wanted to be your own boss, captain of your own life, without any commitment or interference from God. Maybe you didn't want to do things God's way. You knew what God wanted you to do and you ran from it. If this is your story, then you need to do like the prodigal did and come to yourself and shake yourself and wake up and determine and resolve that you're going to go back to the Father today. Confess your sins and your unworthiness even to be called His child. Come to Him in humility. Throw yourself at His mercy. Let Him respond to you in His grace. I'll guarantee you how He's going to respond. He's going to respond by saying, "Come on, son. Let me hug you. Let me embrace you. Let me kiss you. I want you to know I love you. I'm so glad you came home." He's going to come home, respond by making sure that you know your privileges as His son. The first prodigal, from him you learn that God is calling you back to Himself today. Could be that you've never been a Christian. You've heard all about it all your life. You haven't done it. This is for you, to come to the Father today. You see yourself in prodigal number one, the younger son. But I want you to see the older son too. The older son, the prodigal of jealousy and pride. In Luke 15 and verse 25, we see the prodigal brother. Soon after the start of the festivities, celebrating the return of the younger son, the prodigal older brother returned from the field. He came back and they're having all this hoopla in verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." Notice that the older brother never left home. Do you see that? He stayed put. He stayed under his father's authority and continued to fulfill his responsibility of work around the house and in the fields. He was not the one who demanded his share of the inheritance. He did not forsake his duties in the field. He stayed behind when the family split. The younger son ran off. He stayed behind, continued to help Dad with the responsibilities. He was faithful. He was always there. He had not wasted his inheritance. He was a solid citizen and a consistent family member. He was supportive of his father. He was a hard worker, a producer, if you will. And he was a great sinner, too. He was guilty of not looking for his brother's return like his father had. And probably not caring if his brother, who made that flagrant request and went away, didn't care if his brother ever came back. After all, his brother had left him to do all the work. There must have been a little bit of seed of bitterness there somewhere. I'm trying to put myself in his shoes, or you in his shoes. The young prodigal is like so many church members who wander away from God and from the church and get all wrapped up in the world. And they fail while living apart from the Father, and they have to come home to the Father in order to find what they need. The young prodigal may be like the lost person who needs to come to the Father. But the older prodigal, the older brother, is like so many Christians who have stayed by the stuff, but have become hardened and soured at the same time. Beware. There are many Christians who are in the church. Every time the doors are open, they're faithful. God bless them. They are faithful. They tithe. They support the work. They keep things going. They work the ministries. They attend the functions. And yet they are surprised when God restores the prodigal. They were probably not praying for their brother to return. In fact, they aren't too soul conscious anyway. They care very little, carry very little burden for the lost or backslidden. Although the entire household is full of joy in verse 24 with the return of the younger brother, the older brother is all out of sorts. He can't get into it at all. He's not happy. He's not festive. He's not rejoicing. What's wrong with them, he must ask. They will send the wrong message by having a party for my wayward brother. My younger brother will think that Dad is rewarding him for what he did. They shouldn't do it that way. and he's got the answers. But the older brother is guilty of sin as well. He's not sympathetic with folks returning to the Father. After all, it takes the attention away from him. They're going to fill up all the seats. I won't be able to get to my seat. All these people coming in getting right with God. What are we going to do? We're just getting too crowded. Luke 15 and verse 28. He's also guilty of letting it all turn into anger in his heart. Bitterness will do that. And he was angry and would not go in. He wouldn't go in and celebrate with everybody. Therefore, his father came out and entreated him. His apathy turned to anger. In fact, in verse 29, he expresses jealousy and an unforgiving spirit toward his younger brother. This is the prodigal older brother, you see. I also want you to notice the patient father. Well, I cannot relate. Scripturally, I cannot relate to somebody who writes their kids off. Let's not do that. We've got kids. We need to love our kids. Here's a father that doesn't like what he sees in this son now. But he treats both sons alike. When the young prodigal returned home, his father saw him. The father went out and got him and brought him into the house. When the older brother refused to come into the house to join in the celebration, the father went out and got him and brought him in. I want you to see that. He entreated the older prodigal in the same way that he had the younger prodigal because both had sinned and the father loved them both equally. He loves us if we've gone astray. He loves us if we're lost. He wants to save us. But then if we go astray, he loves us. But then if we're consistent and faithful, but our heart gets turned to stone, he still loves us. He doesn't want us to stay like that. The older brother fiercely objected to the father's kindness toward the younger brother. In verse 29, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. What do we call that? Jealousy. Verse 30, but as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fattest calf. He's making his case for why he's mad, why he's angry. As the firstborn, he'd never done any of those things. Look out for self-righteousness coming in. It just wasn't fair. To those bitter and angry and jealous words, the father told him that he had the father's constant presence and attention and all of his possessions. In verse 31, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And that was true, because the other son already had his inheritance. Everything left was the son. But both of them were wayward, and both needed forgiveness. At last we see the piercing truth. In Luke chapter 15, we call it the lost chapter, the shepherd valued as precious the 99 sheep that were safe, as well as the one that was lost, and he went after the one that was lost. The owner of the coins valued the 9 coins that were safe at home as well as the 1 coin that was lost and went after the one that was lost. They were all important to him. And the father valued both the son that was safe at home and the one that had been lost equally. In all 3 parables in chapter 15, everyone ends up rejoicing over the lost item that was found. Everyone except the older brother. The piercing truth is that you may be faithful in church week after week, But if you can't rejoice when one who has sinned repents and returns to the Father, then you, my friend, are prodigal also. Yep. You have backslidden while in the church. You've allowed your heart to get hardened toward other people. You no longer have the compassion toward them that you need to do the work of God. You need to get on your knees before God and ask Him to soften your heart again. If you are like either of the sons in the parable, you need to humble yourself. Confess your sin and make a fresh dedication to the Father today. If you're lost, you need to receive Christ. There are two prodigal sons in this passage. Would you bow your heads with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Two sons, two messages. Your heads bowed and eyes closed. Musicians are coming. Pastor Chris and Pastor Bill to lead songs. Two sons, two messages. If you spent your life away from the Father, then it's time to say, like the prodigal, younger prodigal, I will arise and go to my Father. For the one who is lost without Christ, God is watching for you to come. He loves you. He's been trying to get you to do this for a long time. For the one who had received Christ years ago, but strayed far away, the Father is waiting for you to come. He loves you. He's reaching out to you. He has compassion on you. He wants you to come today. In either case, you come and shake Pastor Chris's hand. This is your instruction. When we start to sing, after we pray, you come and shake Pastor Chris's hand. Tell him why you're coming. I'm coming to receive Christ as my Savior. Or I'm coming because I got backslidden and I want to get right with God. You come and tell him that. And he'll have someone take you aside and they'll counsel you and pray with you. And you can leave here rejoicing. But if you're the older prodigal, you're like him, who's been faithful and hardworking for the Father. But you've noticed a sarcasm and disdain, even a jealousy of others. Maybe a lack of compassion on others. Maybe an anger at their attention. You need to come and bend a knee and confess it to the Father. And the Father is waiting for you as well today. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the story of two prodigals, help us to evaluate our lives. If we see ourselves in one of those prodigals, I pray, O God, that we'll take the steps that the prodigals did and get right with you. Work in this congregation right now something supernatural. Accomplish your will. Help us to yield ourselves to your will right now. In Jesus' name, amen.